Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you're here. I am. I really am. Because otherwise, this wouldn't be nearly as much fun if you weren't part of the party. Wouldn't be as much fun either if Beverly Williams weren't part of our party every so often. Every couple of weeks, she joins us to talk to us about this sector of the marketplace that I was mentioning earlier that basically is flying under the radar. Beverly, as you know, folks, is the world's expert on home-based businesses. She's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute, the 2002 Home-Based Advocate of the Universe, chosen by the SBA, and a beautiful person and our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. You always put such a smile on my face.
Well, you know, your mama sends me this stuff, and I read it. I read it just like she says it. Hey, Bev. Let's see. How much? What would this be? 550 years ago today. That's it. 500. Is that right? 500.
Before my time.
No. 550 years ago today.
Yes.
Gutenberg printed his first Bible.
Uh-huh.
The man who invented the press and the moving type.
Right.
Now, prior to that, there was no great constituency for books because most people were illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would have been with the monks and the scribes, maybe 1% of the population. I mean, even nobility couldn't, many of the nobility couldn't read.
Right.
They weren't educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so prior to that, there was no constituency for books. But Gutenberg invented the press, and they printed the Bible. So how many books could there have been in print in 1457, when this happened? Not many, right? Because they were all handwritten.
Right.
I read somewhere that by the end of that century, there were something like 2 million books in print.
Wow.
Now, that's how this thing proliferated, this reading thing, you know, this book thing and putting images on paper. And it's a fascinating story to see how the human being has progressed in 550 years. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, 1457, 550 years ago today, human beings set upon an intellectual journey that has taken us to where we are today.
That's quite a journey in a relatively short period of time, actually.
Well, exactly. Well, it's no question, especially when you break it into sectors. You know, probably we went like 200, 300 years without a whole lot of change, and then mm-hmm. you know it's sort of, and look how things have changed just in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue on this intellectual journey, and so many things that have happened in the last 10 to 15 years. Have been a great benefit to people who want to start small businesses in their
mm-hmm.
home, haven't they?
Right. It's the technology, just like Gutenberg's printing press.
Exactly.
Technology
and
is what's changing.
See, you didn't know if I was going to be able to get back to this place, did you? You didn't.
Oh,
you and I wandered off. You knew. You didn't know I was going to be able to tie it all together.
How long have I been doing this show with you?
They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Beverly. But seriously. You and I both were home-based when it wasn't cool, when the technology was limited, and now, you know, I was talking to the audience earlier about how many home-based businesses there are. There are millions of them, aren't there?
Yes.
And thousands being created every you know, any given day or so.
Mm-hmm. Half of every group of people that I speak to, whether it's an entrepreneur's workshop or any other kind of group, half of them either are or want to be starting a home-based business.
Mm-hmm.
And more than half of all the small businesses in the United States today, according to the SBA, are home-based.
Oh, I think it's like 4-1.
Well, you and I can quibble because I have thought for years that there were more than 24 million to begin with, and that did not include any teleworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And the government figures are much different than mine. mine is based on intuition, and I think my intuition is better than
theirs. Well, and nobody's going to argue with Beverly's intuition, ladies and gentlemen. You might be right, but you're not going to convince her that there's anything any different. So, Beverly, what does all this mean for our folks listening?
What it means is that you have an opportunity that you can reach out and grab onto a dream if that's what you want to do. There is information available that never used to be. There are resources available that never used to be. And it's all at the touch of a finger if you have a computer and access to the Internet. But even if you don't, it's still available to you just simply by going to the library or your local government Office of Economic Development and saying, I want to do this. How do I do it? And they can lead you to all these different resources.
Uh-huh.
And it's less expensive than what it even used to be. I was sharing with somebody the other night, my first laser printer was over $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
oh, absolutely.
Now, it's just incredible what you can buy and how little you can buy it for. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, unfortunately, we still can't buy brains that do everything for us. We have to learn how to do some of the things that we might want to do. But all the resources are available there for you. You just have to find them.
Well, see, that's what's so cool about it, about starting out small business today. There's an awful lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And there is more to learn today than there was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are more elements to the marketplace. The marketplace has more moving parts, more competition, more influences, et cetera, more opportunities, more capability that you got to learn that stuff. But there's also never been more help.
That's right.
If you want to become a small business owner, if you don't love to learn, you probably ought to go ahead and clock in today. Go ahead, and you probably need to continue to be an employee, and you may be in danger even there. But I mean, if there's one thing you've got to be able to do, if you're a small business owner in the 21st century, you better have your tennis shoes on, and your brain better be a sponge.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I absolutely agree with that. And the if you're not into the technology, if you think you still want to run a business without the use of a computer or email and those kind of things, you may make it, but it's real iffy because people are going to look at you as a dinosaur.
Right.
The technology is what has allowed us to do so much today. It has helped bring back the home business.
We got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back 20 after. We'll be right back with Beverly Williams. Beverly, am I the only one around here that remembers the PF Flyers?
Oh,
the tennis
no, I
shoes,
remember.
The PF Flyers.
I remember.
Boy, that's from the Wayback Machine, isn't it?
Yes,
20,
it is.
20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're there. And Beverly Williams is our guest. She's the author, along with Don Cooper, of The 30-Second Commute. If you're home-based or want to be, you need to know about this book. You need to have it in your hands. And Beverly, tell us where we can find it.
You can find it at any major bookstore. You can find it online at Amazon.com. You can find information about the book at my website, which is www.beverlywilliams.com.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance. And Beverly, what's you're out there with your finger on the pulse of home-based businesses. You're talking to these folks all the time, those who are and those who want to be. Mm-hmm. What's the news?
They are excited. They are doing well.
How about the ones who've been doing it for a while? Are they still excited, or is the bloom off the rose?
No, they still love it. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day and saying, you know, in more than 20 years, I'd never had a morning I didn't want to get up and go to work. And they said, yeah, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
They still feel the same way, too.
You know what my mother used to say? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right. I agree. I just had a thought, Jim.
What?
I think
this is could be dangerous, folks.
Yeah. It's dangerous for the government, but good for us. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about incentives for keeping a manufacturing plant that actually would be home-based here in Garrett County, where I live.
And Western Maryland?
At Western Maryland.
Deep Creek Lake area.
There's some incentives to doing some of those kind of things. Why couldn't we have local governments, state or city towns, counties, give incentives to people to start businesses in their homes to help get some of the traffic off the roads?
Mm.
Now, that's a thought, isn't it?
Now, this wasn't part of Al Gore's movie, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen his movie yet, actually.
I know.
We're going to go see it. But,
yeah.
No, this is my thought. It just came to me how exciting that would be.
Well, see, you're such a visionary, Beverly, because here's the thing. See, here's what a lot of people don't realize. The marketplace, human beings, this will all level out to a great degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because technology, as you know, is already changing that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'll give you an example. I know a guy who works for a government agency in Washington, D.C. He lives 100 miles away from his office, and he only commutes some days because he's able to work out of from his home. Now, if he can work some days from his home, why can't he work all days from his home?
And
or instead of going down 3 days or 4 days a week, why doesn't he go down 1 day a week? Do they really, you know, how many times, I wonder, does he go to his office and not even see anybody that, you know, what's the difference if you're at home or whatever? More and more of our assignments, more and more of the jobs out there are going to be like that. And you're exactly right. And now we start blending the home-based and the teleworkers together. Wait a minute, Beverly. You know plenty of home-based business owners who have employees that they never see.
Right. Yeah.
They're teleworkers.
Okay,
yes, they are.
Yeah. Most of them...
They're virtual workers,
they
Beverly.
They are independent contractors in a lot of cases. But yes, you're right.
No. I'm talking about where they really have an employee.
Yes, okay. Okay.
They're teleworkers.
I'll grant you that one, Jim.
Wow. Did I win one, folks? Boy, let's send up a flare or something. Never mind the relationship. Let's just say that they're a real employee.
Right, yeah.
You know, full-time employee.
Sure.
But they're not there. They're teleworkers. They're in across town or across the state or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think incentives are a good idea, but I think it's going to happen in its own course. I think it's happening.
Sometimes you have to help things along. I look at the zoning issues that we faced 15, 18 years ago.
Right.
And I believe, yes, it might have changed on its own anyway, but much, much slower and with a lot less fighting all along the way. I think because some of us stood up on our soapbox and were willing to take the heat in the limelight and say, hey, why do you have these antiquated laws when this is the new world? Why don't you change and bring yourself into the 21st century with your zoning ordinances? That made it a lot easier for people to be where they are today. I think that we have to take the initiative to give the ideas to the people who have the power to make the changes. And help them work out the particulars. How do you really do that? What's the impact? And be reasonable in our expectations.
But Beverly, but because of your work and a few others, that's happening right now. Or at least when the new zoning laws are being created, they're not sticking those in there.
Right.
The new covenants, the new neighborhood covenants.
But did it take to get it to that point?
It took you getting on your soapbox.
Right.
In fact, Beverly, John and I have already worked this out. On your tombstone, we're going to say queen of home-based business, enemy of the zoning laws, conqueror of the zoning laws.
Well, now I want tax credits or incentives.
There you go.
For home-based business.
We're also going to put on there, hard-headed as this rock to the end. Thanks, Beverly.
Thank you.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Put a .com on the end of her name and you'll find her online. Quick break, right back with our good friend Russell Brown right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Lindsay Buckingham to take us out.
In Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.